Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's begin in Brisbane, Australia, where hometown favorite Jeff Horn retained his World Boxing Organization welterweight title Wednesday evening with an 11th round technical knockout against British fighter Gary Corcoran. Referee Benji Esteves Jr. stopped the bout about halfway through the round after Corcoran's corner threw in the towel. Horn applied pressure in the two previous rounds, and Corcoran was bleeding from a cut near his left eye. It was Jeff Horn's first title defense. He captured the WBO belt in early July when he defeated Filipino star Manny Pacquiao, also in Brisbane. The undefeated Jeff Horn has now won 18 prize fights with one draw and 12 knockouts. Corcoran's professional record is now 17 wins and 2 losses with 7 knockouts. There's talk that Jeff Horn could possibly next meet undefeated American Terrence Bud Crawford, with an April 28 date being discussed. Crawford is moving up to the welterweight division after unifying the world junior welterweight title belts in August when he knocked out Namibia's Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo in the U.S. city of Lincoln, Nebraska. Now let's go to the United Arab Emirates, where Real Madrid is beginning defense of its FIFA Club World Cup football title. The 12-time European champions are playing Al Jazeera, a club based in Abu Dhabi in the UAE, on Wednesday evening. Real Madrid received a bye into the semifinals. The Spanish powerhouse is trying to become the first club to successfully defend the trophy since the FIFA Club World Cup began in 2000. And Real can pull even with Spanish rival Barcelona if it can win a record-tying third title. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera advanced to the semifinals by defeating Auckland City of New Zealand and Urawa Red Diamonds of Japan, beating both opponents by 1-0 scorelines. The winner of the Real Madrid-Al Jazeera match will play Grêmio of Brazil in Saturday's final in Abu Dhabi. Grêmio advanced Tuesday with a 1-0 victory in extra time against Mexico's Pachuca. The Brazilian substitute Everton got the goal for Grêmio with a superb strike in the 95th minute. In another result from Tuesday at the FIFA Club World Cup, Urawa Red Diamonds defeated African champion Wydad Casablanca from Morocco 3-2 in the fifth place match. Meanwhile, Wydad Casablanca will begin defense of its African Champions League title against either Mali's Stade Malien or newcomers Williamsville AC of Ivory Coast after Wednesday's draw in Cairo, Egypt. Wydad Casablanca is one of 5 teams to be given a bye into the second round of the 2018 African Champions League tournament. The 4 other teams given byes are Al Ahly of Egypt, Etoile Sahel of Tunisia, Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa, and TP Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo. The 2018 African Champions League competition, Africa's premier club football tournament, will kick off the weekend of February 9th, 10th, and 11th with a two-leg final scheduled for November. The first round of the tournament will feature 52 African clubs. For the first time ever, Zambia has two teams in the African Champions League draw. Zanaco will go against Gambia Armed Forces, while Zesco United is matched against JKUSC from Zanzibar. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, we'll take a look back at this year's IAAF World Championships in Athletics in London. So please keep on the sunny side.
Oh, keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way. If you keep on the sunny side of life. Oh, keep on the sunny side. Always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten.
Turning to athletics, this evening we continue our look back at this year's IAAF World Championships in London. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017, we'll hear from some of the athletes who earned acclaim in the British capital. And we begin with Turkey's world champion in the men's 200 meters race.
I look in the screen and then I see a first name, Mai. I say, it's, yes, my dream, it happens.
A dream come true for Turkish athlete Ramil Guliyev, who pulled off perhaps the biggest upset at the World Championships in London. The 27-year-old Guliyev lunged at the line to edge South Africa's Wade van Niekerk and Trinidad and Tobago's Jareem Richards in the men's 200 meters final. Guliyev clocked 20.09 seconds, while van Niekerk and Richards had the same time of 20.11 seconds. Guliyev got the gold medal, van Niekerk the silver, and Richards the bronze. Now, before the race, Guliyev was a little-known sprinter who transferred his nationality from Azerbaijan to Turkey 6 years ago. Now, I'm guessing track and field fans might be a little more familiar with the tattoos on both of Guliyev's arms. And he used those arms to carry the flags of both Turkey and Azerbaijan on a victory lap at the Olympic Stadium in London.
Yeah. It's a great life in my sport career. And I next is my Olympic Games. I hope so. I make again. And I make so many training for Olympic Games. And then last year I come, it's bad. And I hope so we can make it next.
That's Ramil Guliyev of Turkey, the surprise winner in the men's 200 meters final. Wade van Niekerk was hoping to be the first man to get the 200-meter, 400-meter double gold at the World Championships since American Michael Johnson in 1995. But the South African star came up just short after winning the 400 meters gold earlier. Van Niekerk cried during a television interview after winning his 200 meters silver medal.
It's definitely not something that I pictured myself or a situation I pictured myself being in, but it was six long days, six hard days for myself. And I think as I did the victory lap, it really just hit me what I've achieved and what I've done. And it did make me a bit emotional.
Wade van Niekerk talks about six long days, six hard days. He says competing in both the 200 meters and 400 meters was more difficult than he originally thought.
Yeah, it was beyond anything I ever imagined. It was really not as easy as I thought it would be, or not really as easy as I thought it would be, but it wasn't easy at all. I knew I had to work very hard each and every round and try and save as much whenever I can, but the competitors I competed against was world-class every single round, so it made life a bit more tougher than I thought it would be.
Wade Van Niekerk is the reigning Olympic champion and world record holder at the 400 meters distance. Wade says he won't do the 200 meters, 400 meters double again.
I definitely won't be doubling up again. I think whenever I speak 400, I'd love to do that as an individual event and try and improve myself as a 400-meter athlete. And then if I ever have to double, I'd rather do the 100 and 200.
Meanwhile, like Wade Van Niekerk, Botswana's Isaac Makwala was planning to double at 200 meters and 400 meters at the World Championships in London. But organizers kept Makwala out of the 400 meters after he vomited before a qualifying heat and was diagnosed with a stomach virus that affected a number of other athletes. Makwala was angry about not being able to compete at 400 meters, saying he felt fine and could run. The organizers allowed Makwala to compete in the 200 meters, and he had to run two qualifying heats just a few hours apart. In the final, Isaac Makwala finished sixth out of eight runners in a time of 20.44 seconds. Makwala says the qualifying runs took a lot out of him.
Yesterday, you know, yesterday I ran all out, so today I came back. I think my energy was all gone yesterday. I'm disappointed. But I have nothing to do. I have to focus for the next race. I have the 4x4, so I should put all my mind in the 4x4 now.
In more results from the World Athletics Championships in London, reigning Olympic champion Christian Taylor of the United States won his third world title in the men's triple jump. The 27-year-old Taylor won the gold with a leap of 17.68 meters. Fellow American Will Clay won the silver medal, and Portugal's Nelson Evora won the bronze medal. Taylor said before the competition how he was hoping to break the 22-year-old world record of 18.29 meters set by the now-retired British star Jonathan Edwards. Taylor talks about winning the gold again and seeing Edwards at the Olympic Stadium.
Added to the medal count, you know, and that's always good. It was a little frustrating, you know, to come through the mix zone and see Jonathan so happy because this is, you know, what I'm here for. I'm trying to be the best ever, and really we continue to fight. I don't think I've got to show my true fitness today, but, you know, it is a win, and I have to be grateful for that.
That's Olympic and world triple jump champion Christian Taylor of the USA with the attitude of gratitude in London. In another result from the British capital, American Corey Carter won the gold medal in the women's 400 meters hurdles.
I feel amazing. I'm just so excited right now. All the sacrifice from this year has really been paying off, so I'm just on top of the world right now. I definitely thought I had a chance. You know, my coach said I could do it, and our goal this year was gold, and that has been our main focus, so I really just set my mind to the task.
Corey Carter had a world championship winning time of 53.07 seconds. American countrywoman Dalila Muhammad, the reigning Olympic champion in the event, had to settle for the silver medal, and Ristanana Tracy of Jamaica won the bronze medal. The United States won the most medals at London 2017, a total of 30, 10 gold, 11 silver, and 9 bronze. Kenya was next with 11 medals, 5 gold, 2 silver, and 4 bronze. And South Africa finished third on the London 2017 medals table with 3 gold, 1 silver, and 2 bronze. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, All-star forward Kawhi Leonard of the San Antonio Spurs returns to the basketball court.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association news, two-time All-star Kawhi Leonard of the San Antonio Spurs made his season debut Tuesday night after he missed 27 games with a quadriceps injury in his right leg. But it was not a victorious return to action for Kawhi Leonard. He scored 13 points in 16 minutes of playing time, but the Spurs lost on the road 95-89 to their Texas rival, the Dallas Mavericks. Guard J.J. Barea scored 14 of his 16 points in the second half for the Mavericks, who ended a five-game losing streak at home to the Spurs. Elsewhere around the NBA Tuesday night, superstar LeBron James scored 25 points and tied a career high with 17 assists to help lead the Cleveland Cavaliers to a 123-114 victory over the visiting Atlanta Hawks. The Cavs have been playing some excellent basketball lately, having won 15 of their past 16 games. In New York City, the young Latvian giant Kristaps Porzingis made his big presence felt once again for the New York Knicks. Porzingis scored 37 points and grabbed 11 rebounds as the Knicks beat the Los Angeles Lakers 113-109 in overtime. And another young international big man, the Cameroonian Joel Embiid, was also victorious in an overtime contest. Embiid had 28 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists, sparking the Philadelphia 76ers to a 118-112 overtime road victory over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Wednesday?
Well, let's stick with the National Basketball Association and some winning streaks that we've talked about on the show. Of course, we had the Boston Celtics with their 16-game win streak back in October into November. Then we had the Cleveland Cavaliers, who won 13 games in a row from November through December, which actually tied their longest win streak in franchise history. They had a chance to set that record for the franchise, but ended up losing to the Indiana Pacers. Well, now it's time for the Western Conference to get in on those winning ways, Sonny, because this time it's the Houston Rockets, who are now in double digits, riding a 10-game winning streak after beating the New Orleans Pelicans 130-123. That win streak has helped to put them at the top of the Western Conference with a record of 20 wins, 4 losses, just ahead of the Golden State Warriors, who themselves have a 7-game win streak going. So we had the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics with their win streaks in the East. We might have a bit of a win streak battle in the West between the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors.
Andrew, I think it's safe to say the Rockets have been explosive during this winning streak.
That is, you know, just up and out, nothing but the stars that they're shooting for are the Houston Rockets, and they're using a lot of social media to rally the fans. Hashtag run as one is the phrase that they have, and when you put that in on Twitter, it comes up with a little rocket emoji, so run as one being used quite a lot by the fans. And, you know, rallying the fans isn't that difficult with these big wins and the big point totals. And there's one player in particular, Sonny, who's getting a lot of attention. The best beard in basketball, of course, James Harden. 48 points in Houston's game on Saturday against the Portland Trail Blazers. A career-high 17 assists on Monday night against the Pelicans. In fact, there's already talk on social media about Harden possibly being named the MVP at the end of the season. Still a ways to go until that happens, but that conversation already taking place on social media. Houston is certainly promoting that idea on social media because, Sonny, they're using a particular hashtag, not just run as one to rally the fans, but to promote and show off Harden's accomplishments. And, Sonny, I think you're going to like this one. It's hashtag bearding.
That is hashtag bearding.
Hashtag bearding. That's what they're using to say that James Harden is bearding. He's winning. He's bringing the team closer and closer to the win streak that they continue to cultivate and have. In the meantime, Houston is focused indeed on keeping that streak alive. They have a ways to go to capture the NBA record, which is, I'll put you on the spot. I don't know if you remember what that record is.
You have definitely stumped me, Andrew.
Well, I myself was stumped, and I don't know if I would have been in the same position as you if you put me on the spot. I wouldn't have known it. You had to go all the way back to 1971, 1972. The Los Angeles Lakers won 33 games in a row.
Wow. Okay.
So they're only at 10. They still got a ways to go, but they're on the path so far. We'll see if they can get there.
Yeah, 33 games in a row. I think a member of that team, if I remember correctly, the late, great Wilt Chamberlain, part of that 33-game winning streak. Interesting, it has not been surpassed.
No, Golden State got close a couple years ago. They got to, I believe, 28 in a
row
between the two seasons, but no one has gotten any closer to that 33.
Well, we'll see if the beard can get the Rockets up there.
Yeah.
But what else is trending, Andrew?
Well, a potential scandal is brewing for one of cycling's most well-known and most accomplished competitors, Chris Froome, the four-time Tour de France winner, being investigated for potential doping violation after his victory at Spain's Vuelta a España race in September. Now, according to reports, Froome was found to have doubled the legal limit of an asthma medication in his system during a drug test. Team Sky, who is the British professional cycling team, they've released a statement online where they describe the facts of the case as they see them, going in very great detail as far as the percentages and dosages of the medication that Froome was legally, as they point out, legally allowed to have. Froome has released a statement where he says, "It's well known that I have asthma and regularly use an inhaler, and that during the Vuelta, his asthma got worse. He was cleared by his team doctor to increase his dosage." Going on to say that he takes his role in the sport very seriously, and he will provide whatever information investigators require. Now, this all happened back in September. So why are we just getting a response from Team Sky and Chris Froome now? Two reasons for that. One, because the UCI, the Union Cycliste Internationale, cycling's governing body, was set to release information about the case today, so they wanted to get ahead of that. And second, the UK's Guardian newspaper was about to release a story on Froome's test, so that is another story that they wanted to get ahead of with these statements. But a lot of fans are calling foul on this. They're saying Team Sky and Froome knew about these test results for 3 months.
Hmm.
Why wait that time before discussing it openly? And as that investigation proceeds, just in the past few hours, Chris Froome is on social media thanking his supporters. He writes on Twitter, "Thank you for all the messages of support this morning. I am confident that we will get to the bottom of this. Unfortunately, I can't share any more information that I already have until the inquiry is complete." So a lot of attention on that. This has been one of the marquee names in the sport of cycling. A lot of fans hoping that this does get cleared up and that it isn't a violation.
And cycling, of course, has just had so many negative stories regarding doping, Andrew. Let's hope Chris Froome is not adding his name to the list.
Yeah, fans don't want to see another one for sure.
Well, we got about a minute left in the show, Andrew. Anything else trending out there?
Yes, there was a big Senate election in the U.S. state of Alabama yesterday, something we wouldn't usually talk about on this show, but it has a sports element to it. A very contentious race, and without going into all the details, let's just say the two candidates weren't very well liked by a lot of the voters. So imagine you go to the polls in Alabama, you don't like either candidate, you can't make up your mind, so what do? You vote for the head coach of the University of Alabama football team, Nick Saban. apparently, this is something that was trending on social media. A number of people said they were going to write in Nick Saban. He has brought the state of Alabama 4 national championships in the past 10 years that he's been coach at the University of Alabama. So he is, needless to say, very popular there. Enough people are talking about this that there were some jokes going around. Could Nick Saban actually be elected to the Senate? The answer to that is no. But after the election, which was pretty close, there were enough write-in votes that people are speculating that while he didn't win, Nick Saban might have actually inadvertently affected this election. So he is not going to be the next U.S. senator from the state of Alabama, but I don't think he'd want to anyway. He is having enough success at the University of Alabama with football as it is.
The Crimson Tide.
The Crimson Tide. Roll Tide.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the December 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Corruption is an abuse of power at every level that impacts rich and poor countries alike, in both the private and public sectors. Corruption undermines development, erodes confidence in democratic institutions, and facilitates transnational crime, including organized crime and terrorism. It distorts markets, discourages investors, and stunts economic growth. And it is particularly destructive to communities in developing countries, where it blocks development and progress. That is why, 14 years ago, the United Nations General Assembly adopted the UN Convention Against Corruption. The UNCAC as a new global legal framework for preventing and combating corruption. Our frameworks, laws, and policies, and related international cooperation are undoubtedly better today compared to 2005. However, our job is not finished, said Acting Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs, James Walsh, at the 7th Conference of States Parties to the UNCAC. The convention provides us a common basis to take all the necessary steps to prevent and combat corruption if we have enough political will and use the treaty effectively, said Mr. Walsh. Indeed, the United States is fully committed to supporting and implementing the UN Convention Against Corruption, both internationally and domestically. In 2016, the United States had a record year for enforcement of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act against corporate defendants, to include final enforcement actions against 28 multinational companies, said Mr. Walsh. The United States also targets ill-gotten gains, working with our international partners and through the Department of Justice's Kleptocracy Asset Recovery Initiative. Since 2010, the United States has seized or frozen over $3 billion in corruption-related proceeds and so far has returned over $150 million of it. Another $30 million is in process. As we implement the UN Convention Against Corruption, we must also draw on all sectors of society to fight corruption, including civil society organizations and the private sector, said Mr. Walsh. Good faith efforts by the United States or any single country will never be enough. We all must work together to adopt and enforce international standards of integrity, accountability, and transparency.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, Africa music fans. We have hours of the music that you love every day. Some things change, some remain the same. From the north to the south and the east to the west, we play only the best. Tune in at 0100, 0200, 1200 and 1300 UTC, GMT, right here on VOA Africa.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
VOA.
Around the clock, listen to VOA newscasts on the top of each hour, along with our detailed news shows and analysis.
VOA News. We're online at voanews.com.
At voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.